So let me throw out the 6 steps, and I'm going to dive into a story. Otherwise, I'm probably going to forget to give you steps, and everybody loves steps, right? All right, so 6 steps we can take to live life without regret that I've covered in my messages. Number 1, eliminate excuses. I'm working on that in my life. Number 2, step out of comfortable hiding places. Number 3, identify our escape patterns. Number 4, run to embrace challenges. Number 5, stop procrastinating. Woo! And number 6, joyfully go back and do the last thing God told you to do. So these are the things I covered in my messages. Let's just pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just love you so much. Lord, be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in our workplace, Lord, in our neighborhood, in our families, our friendships, Lord. Be glorified in this message. Be glorified in your church. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it's summertime, y'all. So I'm going to talk about my younger years. I'm 42, so we're going to just go way young because, you know, when you share testimony, always blur the timeline because then people don't judge you as much, right? So think back to your summers, all y'all. Let's just talk about summers in your early 20s. How about that one? I don't know about you, but in my younger years, back in the day, I found during the summer, there's just something about it gets hot outside and the Jeep tops come off and guys start playing basketball. All the tall guys are out, you know. And it just kind of makes you do things you probably wouldn't never do. Everybody's like just straight facing, like, Pastor Sherry, I never had a little too much fun during the summer. Come on, y'all, all right? So you'll try things, you'll experiment with things. We get a little antsy, it's hot outside, and we just go, come on, raise your hand if there was anything you ever regretted and it happened during summer. Because I'm about to share my story. Come on. Thank you. Thank you for all the normal people out there. Y'all, this is not a church of churchies, okay? Like, this is real, okay? So all the guys, not my husband, we started dating during the fall. all the guys I ever dated that I knew I was not supposed to date, always during the summer. I could say no. Come on, right? I could say no. It was cold outside, but it was hot outside, you know? And I was like, come on. See, everybody's starting to laugh now. I was like, I know. All my regretful dating relationships totally started dating during the summer. a guy had asked me out, and I get that, like, red flag in my heart. And, this one particular summer, a long time ago in a faraway place. Parents, I have a son, and this is how I'm going to start all my stories. A long time ago in a very faraway place, when your mom was very different, I had a guy friend, and he was a really good guy. And he asked me out. And actually, the first time he asked me out, I just said no, like we were supposed to stay friends. But the second time he asked me out, I was in a hurting place in my life, and it was summer. My dad had just been diagnosed with cancer. It was brain cancer, and the diagnosis was not looking good. And I think, you know, he was a good guy, good-hearted guy, good person. I knew we were not supposed to be together. I knew we were supposed to just stay friends. He was a Christian. We were honestly, right from the start, headed in different directions. You know, like, good guy, just different directions in life. And technically unequally yoked, we don't have time to preach that, but just where we were at in our relationship with God was just in different places. And I totally overrode the Holy Spirit to go out with him because I was just going to have a summer fling, right? Come on, y'all. It was just going to be a fling. It was just going to be summer. It was hot outside. You know, we'll have fun. We just would be cool, you know, kiss a little bit. It's all good. And then suddenly a year flew by. And, you know, think about this. You wait too long to do something, like break up with your just fun summer fling, you know, really good guy friend that you know you're going to ruin things with. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. And, like, the longer you date that person, you're like, I don't think I can imagine my life without that person because they went from, like, a friend to, like, a good friend boyfriend to, like, my best friend boyfriend. And honestly, really good guy. I honestly couldn't say anything bad about him from, like I said, we were just called to be in different directions and just a little different places in our relationship with God. And it was fun, but I had to kind of push down the voice of the Holy Spirit to stay dating him. And I remember the moment that my roommate or whatever came to me, and she goes, so-and-so is like looking at rings. And she kind of knew I was like iffy on this thing. And I was like, what rings? And like, I had this thing with like, anytime a guy started talking about rings, I'd have this. Now guys normally get like this, but I, as a girl, got like this. It was like this, like my chest would tighten and I suddenly couldn't breathe and I started blacking out. Like anyone else? Like, no, really? I know, commitment issues. Like seriously, like I'd be like, a guy want to get serious, and we'd be driving in the car and I was like, I just like, couldn't hear anything they were saying, and it just like got dark and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? And I remember thinking, like, number one, I didn't want to hurt him because he's a really good guy and I respected him. I just kind of got selfish in that moment of my life. And so I prayed. I was like, Lord, I don't have the heart to do it. Like, I technically, my father was dying. And I didn't want to lose my best friend, my boyfriend. Like I said, a really good guy. He was a really good guy. I'm married to the best man ever, but this story is just relevant to our message here. And I said, Lord, I need help. Like, I need some grace here. Yeah, I've been like, you know, but I was like, I need some grace. So I remember we were having this conversation, and you know when a conversation suddenly just hits those like really serious points? I was like, oh no, here it comes. Oh no. Oh. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, this is like the perfect time to like break up with my boyfriend, but like I don't want to. Like I didn't want to because he's a great guy and I really enjoyed it, but like, and I remember I literally started chickening out, and I literally started to like backpedal. I was like, nah, I'll just do it later. Like next summer, it'll be fine. And truly, my dad was about to pass away. Like it was like the worst timing for me emotionally, but I respected him too much to bring him through that and use him to get through that thing in my life of grief. So in that moment where I started chickening out and backpedaling, I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm a seer person. Like, I see. When God talks to me, I see in pictures. I wish I could create what I see. But I heard, like, loud and clear, like, in my spirit. And I heard this. And the Lord said, you asked me for a window, and I gave it to you. The next time won't be so easy. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm a picture person. I could not deny that was the voice of the Lord. So took that breath and received God's grace, and it was actually the most peaceful, kind breakup. It wasn't a fight. It was this realization that I think we both knew we just weren't called to get married and be together, and we parted in a good place. More stories than you wanted to know. I just, like, I decided that, like, I couldn't hang out with him again because I still kind of loved him, and I just, you know, good luck trying to like hang out with someone you love and like just be friends and not kiss them. So I was like, you know, we didn't hang out after that. My mom's looking at me like, what are you saying? I was like, you know who it was. Really good guy. And just like I said, because I wanted to respect him. And it was like just being obedient from that point forward. It was just covered in grace. And I remember, I don't remember how many years later, it came down my Facebook feed. I was not stalking him, I promise you. Like, I would not lie on the pulpit. I was not stalking him. It came down my news feed, like his wedding pictures. And you can't fake what happened. I smiled. I got this big smile on my face because he was the right guy with the right woman. And I actually remembered her at college. She was actually a really great person. She was my TA in my accounting class, and very patient, if you know me, with math. And I thought, God, you're so good, and I'm so glad that, like, he's with the right person in the right time. And like I said, I didn't fake it. Like, I just had to clear my heart. So this is my story about procrastination, because we're talking about it. And there are probably things in your heart and in your life you're procrastinating on. But I shared that story, and I didn't tell Brad I was going to share that story, because, like I said, I'm madly in love with my husband. I'm actually with the right guy, in the right place, the best place, and I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. I told Brad there's a scripture that I used to pray, and I'm living it. You ever like have those scripture promises that you're in the exact opposite of what that scripture says? And it was like it was when the exiles returned from Israel from Egypt. I'm trying to quote it. I think it's like Psalms 126. It says, we would be like those that dreamed. And it was so filled with joy. And I was like, I wake up and I have this wonderful child next to this amazing husband. And it feels like a dream. And it's not perfect. You know, like you have hard times. But I was like, I am the happiest, most fulfilled I've ever been in my life because I'm being obedient. And God has blessed that obedience. And it's beautiful. So we are talking about procrastination, and you can write this in your notes. Ready for this? Procrastination is deception. Pastor Sherry, that's okay. I shared a story in the end. It's the beginning. It's fine. I shared stories, okay? Procrastination is deception because it tells us, we're telling ourselves, we're really lying to ourselves, right? Because we're saying, I'm being obedient. I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to do it. I'm not disobedient. I'm going to obey God eventually. I remember watching, okay, come on, guys, like, this is me, Pastor. I'm not religious, all right? I remember watching series on Netflix, and you know, like, these days on Netflix, like, a series is, like, never PG anymore. And, like, the voice of the Holy Spirit, a long time ago in a faraway place, okay? Like, a long time ago, whatever. I remember the voice of the Holy Spirit's like, you can't watch this show anymore. And I was like, you're right, Lord. I need to be obedient. I just need to finish the last three episodes because I need to know what happens, and I promise I'll fast forward through it. Come on, y'all. Stop being religious, all right? So procrastination is deception because we're telling ourselves, I'm not disobedient. I'm going to obey God eventually. Good intentions is not obedience. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I know. I will. I'm just going to wait till another time when it's less inconvenient because obedience is always inconvenient, okay? You know, obedience is painful many times. But obedience is for the now. Obedience is for the now, right? God moves in the now. And whatever God is telling you to do in the now, he has given you a special grace, God's divine empowerment, and anointing. This anointing is, in the Old Testament, they poured the horn of oil all over you so you couldn't forget you were anointed even when life was hard. Remember I talked about David last week? I didn't go into this story, but Samuel dumped, this is a story, it's so funny. Stacy's not here. Oh, we had a guest speaker, and you know, like, I love the body of Christ, but some people, just weird people, make it weirder than it has to be. But like, wonderful man of God came to our church, didn't come back. But he like got a whole thing of olive oil, like a whole, like, you know, the kitchen version of it, and olive oil was expensive, and took it and poured it on both of his hands, running. And then we're teenagers, and just came up to us and just went, just made it so weird, just literally rubbed all, I mean, it's in your hair, and you're thinking, pimples, 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 don't touch my face. And I just, but that's what they did in the old days, so it was technically scriptural. Don't do that, please. I love you guys, number one, carpet. Number two, don't make it weirder than it has to be, okay? I believe in the anointing. I believe in an anointing oil. And I've had people give me these beautiful little ones, and you can just, you know, make a cross on someone's head and pray for them. But hey, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, always obey, period. He does wild things. All right, so anyway, they would do that. They would pour this oil all over you as a symbol of God's power in your life because it would get in your ear. It would get in your hair. I mean, it would get down to, like, your ankle socks. And they didn't shower back then, okay? And they didn't always have, like, soap on a rope. So, like, you would just, showering was just kind of like birdie bathing it, you know? And I'll tell you, for 2 months, you knew you were anointed because you were not getting rid of that grease. Okay, that's what they did in the Old Testament. So, listen, I'm off track, but we're having fun with stories here. God, whatever the Lord has called you to do, he has anointed you, poured his power on you, grace, God's divine empowerment to do hard things, to do what you're called to do. And just because it's hard doesn't mean God's not in it. But if you delay doing what God has called you to do, there won't be as much. Remember what the Lord told me in that scenario? You prayed for a window and I'm giving it to you. If you continue delay, it won't be as easy. God has given us grace, God's divine empowerment to obey him, to do hard things, right? In our greatest of weaknesses, he is made the strongest. That means in the moment where you're like, I can't do this. Remember my back pedal? I can't do this. Oh my gosh, I'm chickening out. And God's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's right, you can't do it in your own strength, but I'm going to cover it in grace, peace, kindness, gentleness. I'm going to coat it in grace, and I'm going to get all the glory. And you're going to walk out of this going, that was wild. Look how God moved. He has given you the anointing to be obedient to him, the grace, the divine empowerment to be obedient in the now, in that moment. Because if we delay and procrastinate, there tends to be less on it. That doesn't mean you can't tap into it. God's grace is always available. His mercy and grace is always available. But I'll tell you, you'll tap into the most of it in that moment. Why? Because he has prepared you for that divine moment. He has prepared that person, that people group, that missions field, that workplace. Come on, you guys know this. Like, if God's like, I need you to apply for that job. I need you to apply for that job. Come on, come on. You've been praying how to pay off your house. You've been praying on how to get out of debt. Lord, 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 no, I'm not qualified. I don't have the college education. You know, I haven't worked in this field long enough. And God's like, come on, you've been praying on how to pay off your house and get out of debt. I know you're scared to apply for this job because you feel like you're disqualified, but I have given you the grace for this job in this moment with that particular supervisor, with that particular team in that particular area, right now with the person that's going to be interviewing you. And if you wait, it's a different guy interviewing you, and he's in a bad mood because him and his wife got in a fight the night before, and you somehow look like his wife, and now he's just holding you to this weird standard, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is the worst interview ever, okay? Why? What? God gave you the grace for what? The now, in that moment, in that thing, to answer your prayer. Now listen, the thing about delayed obedience, God comes in, period. But the most amount will happen in that moment because he's prepared you, he's prepared them, he's prepared the place, he's prepared the thing. And all of a sudden you go, it was hard, but it was easy. I know this because of messages God's given me that I've sat on too long. Yes, your pastor has been disobedient. I'm telling you, like, this is, oh my gosh, week 5 of like crucifying my flesh, because you can't preach it till you do it. I won't be a hypocrite. Man, like there are phone calls I've had to make before I preach because I just need to clear my heart, okay? So there have been messages the Lord has given me to speak into this congregation that I've sat on because it's an inconvenient time and I've had 3 hours of sleep and like, you know, like my sweet son just, you know, blew stuff everywhere and like, I'm figuring out parenting. And I was what? Delaying, procrastinating. I was in disobedience. So when I finally do get up here, release that message, it's not that it's not as annoying, it's kind of just not quite as in that moment. Because 3 weeks when he gave it to me, I mean, I'm living it, I'm passionate about it, and the person that's supposed to hear it, it might just be for one person. By the way, when I preach, you know, it might be for one person, might be for the whole church, might be for 10, but if I delay it, if I delay obeying God and release it later, they might not even be at church because they're on their family vacation. I was like, oh, all messages are online. Just feels a little different when you're not in the house. Queen of procrastinating here, okay? Because what is it? It's deception. It's saying, God, I'm going to obey you. We think we're being obedient. I just want to do it later on my timing, my way. Mm-hmm. All right, so what are we doing? Whatever God has put on your heart to do, just do it. Just do it. It'll be way smoother than you think it's going to be, okay? God's timing is equivalent to his will. If you want to be in God's perfect will, get in his perfect timing, okay? All right, I'm trying to think. When we delay stepping out to obey God's timing, not only are we hurting ourselves, we also hurt the people we are sent to help. Because I'm telling you, like, God's probably sending you, you're praying for certain things, and he's sending you, like, it's so funny, people pray about finances all the time, but they're afraid to be promoted into a different job. And we're praying for these prayers. God, why is that happening? Why are you know, you don't feel faithful, blah, blah, blah. He's like, just go do what I told you to do. I've lined some things up, but it's like he's lining all these different pieces up because God moves through teams. God moves through families. God moves through communities. And he's like, I got this person on that team. This person finally joined the worship team. And this person finally joined the sound team. And you've been praying about a new best friend. And you've been praying about, like, you know, just moving in your gifts. And all of a sudden, everything's aligned for you, that particular spot, for it just be so much fun with that particular team. And if you wait too long, there might be some shifts. There are doorways that the Lord has opened for you. And it might feel awkward at first, and it feels a little painful and uncomfortable and inconvenient. But like, once again, his anointing will come on it when we're obedient. And I want to say this, like, there's certain things, like, I'll talk about it in my message, but there's certain things, like, even emotionally, that are just really hard. They're things we don't want to talk about. There are aspects of my story I've never shared on the pulpit because the Lord said it's not the right timing yet. And it might just be because there's not quite the right person that's supposed to hear it. And for you that know, I might have shared it privately or whatever, but I haven't shared it on the pulpit. And I feel like there's an aspect of my testimony when I share it, when it's recorded, there's probably going to be one or two people here that is specifically for them. But if I just share it every single Sunday, it's just not as, it's for that one moment. it'll probably be very painful for me to talk about. Probably going to cry. Probably going to have snot running down my face. And that's okay because I'm with family. And it's good to be obedient. How many people see me with snot running down my face? It's quite common. Never hesitate to share your story when God says go. Sometimes we think, oh, they won't respect me as much. They'll see me differently. No, 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 no. There is an anointing. There is a grace for that moment. And if we delay, that's okay. Listen, God's grace is so good. His mercy is renewed every day. But the most will come when he has prepared everything to come together for that place. You know, with Esther, it says, you were born for such a time as this, now, in this moment. So when we wait too long and we procrastinate, we might miss an opportunity. We might miss what my title message is, a window. Windows are not always open forever. So let's not allow God's opportunities to pass us by. And I really developed this last week on David. And actually, I emailed myself the wrong notes, so it was like extra anointed because you went, oh, halfway through. I was like, I am not reading all my notes here. And God just dropped in this aspect of the five stones. And please go back and listen to it. But David ran into an opportunity. Okay. There are divine appointments that will change your life forever. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says this. So let's not get tired and grow weary of doing what is good. It's hard, though. It's exhausting. Don't grow tired and weary of doing what you're called to do. And if God has called you to that particular business, to that corporation, to that particular neighbor that drives you nuts, just because it's hard doesn't mean God's not in it. But you got to hear. Let's not get tired and grow weary of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. The statistic changes all the time because sometimes statistics can be changed. But, you know, they say that the average person doesn't give their life to Jesus the first time they hear about Jesus. You know, I've heard 7 because it's the Lord's number. I've heard 11. What is it, Mom? It was 6. I don't know. It's a number that's not 1. And the Lord keeps saying, share your testimony. Go pray for him. You're like, I am growing weary. They think I'm weird. Oh, my gosh. But be obedient to what the Lord has said. Because at just the right time, because he's preparing their heart, or maybe he's preparing their spouse, because my goodness, when one person gives their life to Jesus, the whole family gets affected. Boom. He's bringing friends in the life, coworkers in life to support that life change. I don't know. But at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings. This is where Gerald got her. Harvest of blessings. Shout out to her. She is an obedient woman of God. Praise God. If we don't give up. Lord, we just thank you for harvest of blessings, Lord. And we just thank you. All their needs are met according to your riches, your resources, your people, your building. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. You have the right building, the right time, and the right place. And it's all paid for, Lord God. You have a way. You are aligning people on her team. In Jesus' name. Love her. I pray for her all the time. That's good seed to get on. All right, so if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, whenever there is an opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. That means we need to always be mindful, looking on how to bless other people. Always keep your antenna up. For old school people, you remember antennas? But we all, you know, you have them on your car, some people, okay, if you might not know. Cell phones, whatever. Antenna up. If that means I'm like, my ears are always tuned into the Lord. I'm practicing this with Zeke when we wake up because you all know I love morning. I'm getting so much better at morning with a child because it's like always morning. 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 5 a.m. It's like, Lord, he is a 6 a.m. or 5, ooh, no, oh, 7. We're probably 7 a.m. baby. Amen. Okay. And I practiced this with Zeke and I was like, hey, Zeke. And I start talking about Jesus. I remember my dad gave me this book a long time. It was Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I was like, hey, Zeke, let's say good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And I'll start talking about him. Hey, Zeke, what's Jesus want us to do today? What's Holy Spirit speaking to us about? Because you know what's so great is I'm tuning into the Lord with my son. I'm teaching him how to tune in. All right. So when we wake up, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? Who would you have me to love? Who would you have me to minister? What would you have me to give? Could be time, it could be money, it could be attention, it could be prayer, it could be stuff. I know somebody's believing God for a car to be given to them. Praise God, it's good to be obedient. Great blessing comes in, amen? Don't hesitate. So when we're out living our lives, we should be looking for every opportunity, not the audible voice, not the choir of angels and the light shining down, not the, I need a goosebumps, I need to feel him to be obedient. Look for an opportunity. You don't need weird, okay? It's okay. Like sometimes I do get the goosebumps, man. Sometimes I get like, I'll tell you, I've had moments where like my whole mouth starts it sounds odd, but like buzzing, like my hands. Like I have felt the tangible presence of God, and I know when that happens, you better do something with it. But the majority of the time, the 90%, there's an opportunity. Just start talking. Just start a conversation. Weave your story into it. Ask if you can pray with them. So when we're out living our life, look for opportunities to encourage, to comfort, to bless, to strengthen. A prophetic word of encouragement is not weird. People, like, it's just really simple. Ready? 1 Corinthians 14:3, New Living Translation, says, "But one who prophesies strengthens other people." Raise your hand if you can share your story to strengthen someone else. Boom. Next one. Raise your other hand. Encourages them. Next one. Comfort them. Can you and your story encourage, strengthen, comfort other people? You can prophesy into people's life. And you know, the best part is then pull out that scripture in the back pocket that you read this morning. Or God will just bring a scripture in it. And that just like seals the deal because his words are the most powerful, most anointed. And I'm telling you, you don't even have to see. They might dead face you. They're just stoic people out there. They're just not emotional. And you're like, wow, I like so off. But God's speaking to them, working on them. All right. So be obedient. All right. Look for opportunity to share your story. Look for opportunity to speak scripture into people's life. Pray for people. Just, hey, how can I pray for you? Oh, nothing. Can I pray for your family? Is anyone sick in your family? These days, there's probably somebody. Most people will receive, if they don't receive prayer for themselves, or receive prayer for someone else. Pray the prayer of faith over them. Jump at the window. Ephesians 5:16 Amplified says this, "Making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity," the Amplified Bible says, "and using it with wisdom and diligence. Because the days are filled with evil." Christian English version, hold on. No, Contemporary English Version, great with acronyms. "So make every minute count." Make every minute count. New Living Translation says this, "Make the most of every opportunity." Keep your antenna up, look for a window, jump. I kind of covered this last week, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. There is very little ministry that's actually going to happen on that stage behind this podium in the four walls of this church. The majority of ministry is in the real world. I'd say 90% of all the ministry that you're going to be doing or ready for this, called to do, is outside the four walls of this church. But we turn the switch of faith off, we pull our antenna in, we turn off our cell phone, whatever analogy works for you tech people, the moment we leave those doors. And we're waiting for like goosebumps. David saw an opportunity and whipped out the 5 stones of just skill set that he had. Fixing lawnmowers, fixing computers, fixing cell phones. You know, I make good coffee. I'm too cheap to go to Starbucks. Like, I don't meet people at Starbucks. I'm like, come to my house. I'll save a lot of money. I'll buy more shoes if I make my own coffee, okay? I make a good cup of coffee. You want to come over and just pray and read the Bible, eat carbohydrates? I love carbohydrates, okay? I can do that. You know, it could be making a meal for someone. I have 5 stones in my pocket. I got some skills. And I'm going to run into an opportunity. I can babysit. If you have like mom, like you had 4 kids, what's one more kid in the neighborhood, right? Amy, my best friend from high school. What's one more seat? You know, we kind of just squished everybody. We're like cutting our burgers like this and eating. We just all squished around the table. It's Sherry Reed. I mean, my goodness, how many people does she shove around a table, right? There's always room for one more. You make dinner. That's a 5 stone in the back of your pot. Look for an opportunity. Share your story. All right, I'm having fun. This is good. It's good to have fun when you're obedient. All right, so I've learned the hard way not to procrastinate when God tells me, because I've done a lot of procrastinating in my life, because it only makes matters worse. Never in my life have I procrastinated on something and it made things better or less painful. It always makes it worse. It makes it more painful because things start to bottleneck, especially emotionally. Anybody have a conversation in their head? That's when you know you've waited too long. Okay, like I do. It's no stories. I recently had a conversation in my head in the shower, and I was like, and then said this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm feeling this, and then finally I like came out, it's okay, it was my husband, and I was like, so I'm having a conversation with my head in the shower, and that's like a bad place to be. So before I go to bed and get into sin, because if you're having conversations with your head, yeah, you're probably in sin and unforgiveness or whatever, and you know, just go call the person. Go text them. Just do it in the moment. Rip the Band-Aid off. You sleep so much better. You will have the worst night's sleep if you hold on to it. And those conversations get uglier in the middle of the night when you wake up at 2 a.m. and then you finish the conversation that you started on your drive. You know, like, it's funny. Okay. All right, so everybody turn to Exodus chapter 8. This is the key story. I probably will chop off the last four pages of my sermon because we're having fun. All right, Exodus chapter 8. It was God's appointed time to use Moses to lead his people that were in 400 years of slavery out of Egypt. God's appointed time. Now think about things in your life that have enslaved you or people that you love. You know, it could be debt, it could be addiction, it could be trauma, it could be insecurity. There's all these things that you can be enslaved to. And Jesus, here's a great difference between the Old Testament and the New. Jesus came 2,000 years ago and broke every chain of slavery in your life. And all you got to do is just receive it. Praise God. We go right to the source. But for some reason back in the Old Testament, it just wasn't the time for Jesus to come, and they had to wait for a person to be born and grow up, and then the perfect timing in their life. And you know what the perfect timing in Moses' life to go set people free from slavery? 80 years old. Don't you think you're retiring from ministry? Okay? In fact, the older you get, the more time you get to go serve the Lord. Isn't that great? The older you get, the more time you get. Normally work out our insecurities. It's just great. So at the age of 80, he gets called into the greatest adventure of his life, leading people that grumble and complain and backbite and try to stone him and just make your life so much drama. So if you are waiting for a ministry that's just sugar and sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, it's not going to happen. People are hard, okay? But there's great blessing in it. So God called Moses for such a time as this. And God wanted to just prove to not only the people of Israel and the Egyptians, but the whole rest of the world, because we're still talking about it a couple thousand years later, his incredible power and sovereignty and how big he was. And 10 wild plagues happened. Mind-blowing, like, are you serious? I can't believe. And one of them was the plague of frogs. All right, so turn to Exodus chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 in the Message Bible. All right, so one of the particular plagues we are jumping in on, and it was just God just proving, I am bigger than all your ridiculousness. I'm bigger than slavery. I'm bigger than the Pharaoh of Egypt. I'm bigger than every king and every nation, every political party. I'm bigger. Trust me, I got this. And I'm going to do it in wild ways, because God sometimes, he likes a little, Lord, you like to dramatically display your power. He just does. Because he gets wild credit. And people just fall to their knees going, you know what, God? I'm over myself right now because I watched you do something so big and so miraculous. There's no way I can explain it. He does wild things, miraculous things, and the whole world saw it. Because Egypt was like an economic hub back then. So they all heard about it. Okay, ready for this? All right. Exodus chapter 8, 1 through 10, Message translation. God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him God's message. Release my people so they can worship me. If you refuse to release them, I'm warning you, I'll hit the whole country with frogs. And maybe you think it's not so bad. You know, there's like cute little frog t-shirts back in the 90s. Oh, frogs are cute. These were not cute frogs. These are like ugly, warty, disgusting frogs. They stank, okay? It says, the Nile will swarm with frogs, and they'll come up into your houses, into your bedrooms, into your beds. It's just getting grosser and grosser and grosser, okay? Into your servants' quarters, among the people, into your ovens and pots and pans, your TV dinner. I don't even know how it got in my freezer. I remember seeing something on YouTube. I love ice cream. Someone opened up a tub of ice cream, and there's a frozen frog in it. Don't even know how, but I'm sure you didn't eat ice cream for a while. All right, you ruined ice cream? Seriously? Okay. And it says, they will be all over you, all over everyone, frogs everywhere, on and in everything. So it sounds terrible. And you're going to see Pharaoh holding on in his pride. So imagine your entire world, your house is infested with frogs. They're squishy. They're gross. I mean, you open up your door to come home out of the infestation, and you go squish. And then you move forward, squish. Like, you're just, it's just getting worse and worse. And you go to the toilet, and then you look, and there's a frog in your toilet. There's no way I'm using that toilet. Like, I don't even know. There's just no place to go. There are frogs everywhere. You know, you're not cooking because gross. You might cook the frog. I don't know. So you open up cereal, and it just jumps in your cereal bowl, and Cheerios fly everywhere. And you're like, throw your hands up. Forget it. I'm just going to run the clock on this plague, and I'm just going to go to bed. You throw open the sheets, and there are frogs in your bed. And you are so tired and so exhausted that you just sleep with the frogs. Okay, this is where they're at. This is what they're looking at here. So verse 5, God says to Moses, tell Aaron, wave your staff over the rivers and canals and ponds. Bring up frogs on the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched his staff over the waters of Egypt, and a mob of frogs came up and covered the country. But again, the magicians did the same thing using their incantations, witchcraft, okay? And they also produced frogs in Egypt. Okay, Satan has power. He does. To counterfeit what God is doing. Interesting. So the Egyptian Pharaoh's pride did not want to let the people go. He had some control issues. He wanted to have the last say. He wanted it his way and his timing on his terms. And this, let me tell you, control will make you crazy. Because here's what he did. He had his magicians perform counterfeit signs because when you're plagued by frogs, the last thing you need is more frogs. Just stupid. It's just dumb. Okay. So he made more drama for himself. if you're plagued by frogs, why do you want more? If you're plagued by problems, why do you want more problems? When you delay, it's just going to cause more problems and more drama in your life. But pride makes us stupid. Mm-hmm. Pride makes us blind to the truth. All right, so verse 8. Pharaoh called in Moses and Aaron and said, pray to God to get rid of these frogs. I'll release the people so they can make their sacrifices and worship God. Verse 9, Moses said to Pharaoh, certainly, just set the time. And when do you want the frogs out of here, away from your servants and people and out of your houses? You'll get rid of the frogs. Why? You know, we have free will decisions all the time. You know, we're praying for God's blessing. We're praying for God's deliverance. We're praying for, you know, God to move certain situations. He's like, okay, I'm ready. When are you going to let me in? I would have said right now, please, right now, in this moment, like, please. I would just like to not sleep with frogs. I would like to have a good bowl of cereal without, like, picking frogs out of it. Okay. But Pharaoh said this, verse 10 and 11, Pharaoh said, make it tomorrow. Make it tomorrow. Moses said, tomorrow it is. So you'll realize there is no God like our God. Free will decisions. Jesus set us free 2,000 years ago on the cross. We don't have to fight for anything that he hasn't already died for and given to us. Healing, emotional healing, physical healing, you know, healing of relationships, okay? Freedom from depression, joy, peace, all this stuff. He gave it to us on the cross 2,000 years ago. But we're saying, I just want to sleep one more night with the frogs. She hot. I know she's crazy, but she's hot. You know what? We're just going to date this summer. Just one more Saturday night. I just want to, quote, sleep with her one more time. Woo. You know? I just want to smoke one more joint. I just want to go let loose one more time, go on a vacation where nobody knows my name. I won't even post any pictures. And I just want to have fun one more time. I just want to be right one more day. I just want to be right. And I am not going to call them and tell them the part of that issue that I was a part of because I said it the wrong way and the wrong timing and I was in blah, 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 pride, arrogance, whatever. Nope, I just want to sleep tonight being right and have conversations in my head all night long and have terrible sleep. It's about being right or making the relationship right. Finding ways to cause delays will only make things worse. And it's not just for us, but it's also the people that are around us. Look at Pharaoh. That kind of stank for one more night for all the people that he was called to lead. Oof. So what nasty frogs are we deciding to sleep one more night with? Bitterness? Unforgiveness? Offense? Oh, no. You know what? I'm going to drink one more six-pack, and I'll go to AA tomorrow. I'll get a new coin. One more time. One more time. No, okay, that's my song. Just one more dance, Lord. He's hot, okay? Let's just revisit our 20s and laugh, okay? Let's just, come on. Oh, man. It's all recorded, Sherry. We're going to keep moving on. Here we go. All right, so why do we sleep with frogs one more night? We make excuses. We blame other people. We just want to sleep in our own self-righteousness. Honestly, we just get comfortable sleeping with frogs. We get comfortable because they've been around so long in our life, we don't even know they stink. We get comfortable with our own bitterness, our own unforgiveness, our own self-righteousness, our own judgment, our own criticism, that we don't even know that we stink anymore. And God's saying, hey, just let it go. Repent to me, change your ways, repent to the other people you've hurt, and let's move on. One more night. All right. So what are we putting off till tomorrow? Apologizing to someone you hurt? Forgiving or just reconciling with someone that hurt you? Confronting someone who is taking advantage of you? Maybe you're just procrastinating on a project that needs done, cleaning out the attic. No one likes doing that, okay? Going to the doctor. Because, by the way, doctors are on Team Jesus. Jesus is the great physician. He works with doctors and through doctors. And, you know, there might be a funky little growth on there or just a mole that's, like, starting to look like a president's head. I don't even know it. You listen. I've had moles cut out, okay? Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Go get it checked out. Well, that's not faith. Yes, it is, because we know exactly how to pray now. Why? We're afraid. Afraid of what they might say. All right? Maybe we're procrastinating on setting a very specific time to get in the Word and just spend time and rest with Jesus. Or if you're like me, I'm procrastinating on trying to work out because I have a child. That's my big excuse right now. It's an excuse, okay? Procrastinating on just maybe making some healthy lifestyle changes. Healthy is different for everyone. You know, be your healthiest version, whatever that is, okay? Going on a missions trip. Giving a big financial gift to a particular ministry. When I pray for Jural, I've seen it. Man, I see stuff. There are benefactors. There are just corporations and businesses that people have worked very, very hard, and they are, I told her, I prophesied it. It's not in the moment right now, but in the moment. And they are called to give into her ministry to pay those utility bills because they can align with the great blessing in the fruit of her tree. And it's the greatest blessing to them. You might be one of them. I don't know. Maybe it's join the children's ministry team because there's an entire generation of your future. They are our future. I don't like people knocking teenagers. I love them. They're our future. They're your kids. They're going to rule the world. Ready or not, here they come. So listen, it's not a good time to retire. It's a good time to be a spiritual mom and a spiritual auntie or uncle to them and bring them under your shoulder, teach them how to change their oil, how to sew, how to cook dinner, and tell them your story about Jesus. The greatest fulfillment will come in being obedient to that. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He who watches the wind, waiting for all conditions to be favorable or perfect, will not sow seed. He who looks at the clouds will not reap a harvest. If you're waiting for every condition to be perfect and favorable, it's never going to happen. If you're waiting for it to be easy, God calls you to do hard things. But the easiest it will ever be is to be obedient in the now, in that moment, when the grace is there. How many people know this? It's never the perfect time to start a family. Okay? It is never the perfect time to start a business. Oh, this economy, I don't know. Be obedient to whatever the Lord's told you to do, okay? It's never the perfect time to ask that girl out, but if you don't, your best friend is, and you're going to be the best man at their wedding, and that's going to be awkward, okay? It's never the perfect time to start tithing. Well, I just need to get out of debt first. You get out of debt faster when you're obedient to God. It's not about finances. Really, it's about every act of obedience is a seed sown in lives. And God is anointed and it will grow with great blessing. So why do we put things off in procrastination? Why? Why we ignore the problem because we're hoping one day we're going to wake up and it's just going to miraculously poof, go into the air. It's just going to disappear. Now, I'm not going to break up with them because one day they're going to just wake up happily on fire for God. No. You know, we just ignore the problem because that you know, funky looking mole that looks like Lincoln all of a sudden starts growing to like all of what's the president, like the mountain of president heads? Mount Rushmore. Next thing you know, that's Mount Rushmore. That's going to get cut out, okay? Listen, do not procrastinate. Why? Sometimes they're just things we don't want to talk about the Lord because they feel painful. And he wants to go there. Okay. You know, my mom, I remember that you found a Target sign. Was it on your back when I was a little kid? First time I ever saw my dad panic. Because he, like, was in love with my mom and she had four kids. And, like, he was beside himself for, what, 2 weeks you were stuck in bed? Was it 2 weeks? I don't know. A week. I'm exaggerating. I don't know. I was little. But, you know, she had a tick bite and there was a Target sign. So that says, hi, Lyme's disease, get your butt to the doctor. I'm not going to the doctor. I'm in faith. Listen, we're going to pray the prayer of faith over you, but get your butt to the doctor. Sorry, I'm not supposed to say that on microphone. Get your bottom to the doctor, okay? Because if anything, it'll cause offense with your family or your spouse, and they're going to be mad at God too. Okay, so listen, right? And we prayed, and I'll tell you, no problems whatsoever, but they do say when you ignore certain things, it can get worse. Now, I believe in healing. Oh my gosh, every person I pray, lay hands on, in my heart, I choose to see them miraculously healed. And whether that healing is in that moment or over a year or two or works with team doctors or whatever, I believe the Lord is moving. Okay? All right. So it is dangerous to procrastinate not only on physical things, but also on emotional and spiritual healing in your life. It is dangerous to procrastinate to work on the health of the relationships around us. Because if you kick things under the carpet too long in a marriage, a friendship, in a ministry, or even at work, someone's going to trip over it, and it's going to get ugly. If you push down those feelings and those resentments, it will eventually explode. And sometimes it can cause permanent damage and destroy a company or your workplace, a friendship, or a marriage. So please do not procrastinate on going to marriage counseling. Please go to counseling. God has gifted men and women of God here on this earth with a special grace to walk you through the word of God and wisdom. If you need to know I know some incredible Christian counselors that walk you through it. I did counseling, Brad did counseling. It is incredible for our lives. It's a gift in the Lord, okay? It's not wise to put things off. So if there's something that you know that God has put on your heart to do, but you've been putting it off for a better day when you're not so tired, we're parents at this point. I'm going to be tired for 20 years. Thank God for his grace, okay? You know, when the kids are older or after you retire, when you're less busy in life, it's not going to get any easier by putting it off. It only gets harder and puts us in a dangerous spot. So holding on to unforgiveness is the worst thing you can do because it causes serious spiritual, emotional, and physical repercussions in your life. I mean, there have been things proven what holding on to bitterness does to your body. It makes you sick. Holding on to unforgiveness blocks your prayers, destroys your health, poisons relationships, and poisons your own personality. So man, get rid of it. All of us are procrastinating on something. Let's all raise our hands. Is everyone besides myself procrastinating on something? This is fun. I share funny stories about my, like, adventures in dating. Okay. So Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of the things we hope for, divinely guaranteed, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by our physical senses. Now faith. Look it up in translations. Now faith, now faith, now faith, now faith. Faith is for the now. God has given you faith for the now. God has given you faith for the now, but we have to move and take action, faith in action for the now. If you were waiting till tomorrow to have faith for today, faith is for the now. Now I'm just going to sleep with the frogs one more night. Now it's time to get out of bed, get in faith, be obedient. All right. James chapter 2, 14 through 17, New Living Translation. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. I'll just pray for you. Oh, yeah, you're having a hard time. You're having a hard time financially. Oh, let me just pray for you. You know what? Go check what's in your pocket, guys. What's the 5 stone? You know what? May not have any cash, but you can help them fix their car. That'll save them, what, $1,000 going to the mechanic? You know? You might not have that much money to pay off their mortgage, but you can, you know, pay for their lunch that week. Whatever. Look. Don't just pray for them. Do something. All right? What good does that? So too, faith, if it does not have works, corresponding actions in the now to back it up, it is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Holy Spirit is gently tugging at your heart to do something. And sometimes we hyper-spiritualize everything and ministry, ministry, ministry. 90% of everything that you're doing for the Lord in the kingdom of God is in the 90% of your life, which is how many days are you at the workplace? 8, 9, 10 hours sometimes? He's causing you to be a light, to share your story, to encourage people wherever you go, Walmart, gas station, okay? Whatever he's tugging at your heart to do. Because if you ignore that Holy Spirit tug long enough, you push it down long enough, you will harden your heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not only will you miss opportunities of promotion and blessing, like David, right? Just ran into it, and next thing you know, wiped out a giant and was promoted in the army and promoted to be king, right? But you can also miss the voice warning of certain protection in your life. You know, God might be like, don't get in that car. He knows how many beers that person had. Oh, just had one. No, God said, don't get in that car. But if you're pushing that voice down, that can affect like your physical well-being, you know? But also, I want to say this on a joyful note. If you harden your heart to the tug of the Holy Spirit, you'll just miss adventures. You'll be one of those bored Christians that just grumbles and complains and drags their feet, complains about the coffee, complains about the cushions, complains, I don't know, you know, just, they don't like the color of the carpet. Well, you got nothing better to do because you're bored. Yeah? You start praying for people, discipling people, you have no time to be bored. God will use you. Okay, Hebrews 4, 1 and 7. I'm going to tear off the last four pages of my message. Don't worry. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still remains and is freely offered today. Verse 7, he again sets a definitive day, a new today, providing another opportunity to enter that rest by saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I'm going to tear off four pages. I'll do it some other time. But the Lord said, stop here. And I'll do a deep dive into Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and I encourage you to read it. But the most fulfilling, refreshing rest is right down in the middle of God's perfect will and his perfect timing. You might be in the middle of this story, and it might be terrible in that moment. But you go, this is really hard, and this is really painful. God will call you to work with hard and painful people and situations, economy. You know, parenting is hard. He will call you to do hard things, but he has given you grace to release it in the now, today. We are to partner with God's promises with our faith in action. We're going to do the us part. I'm going to be obedient instantly, joyfully, holy. We talked about it last week. Three levels of obedience. Normally, we're only doing one of them. Instant obedience, no more procrastination. Whole obedience, we talked about it last week, only doing part of it. Only cleaned half my room. And joyful, it's the attitude of our heart that really defines the greatest blessing that comes with it. Because there's nothing that's like, someone comes up to you going, oh, hey, what's up, Joe? God's been on my heart to give you $200. Here. I mean, I'm still rejoicing. Like, I mean, I'm rejoicing, you know, but like at the same time, I'm like, you have a bad attitude about blessing me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if they came up to me and be like, listen, dude, I've been struggling with this for like a whole month, but it feels good to be obedient, and I'm so honored to bless you and so into how you got to get your car fixed, because I know you've been struggling and Uber's really expensive right now. And you know, I'm believing God, I'm going to pray for you for that $2,000, but here's $200. Let me pray for you, man, and God's going to just take care of that car. We do the our part, God does the his part. We do the our part, we instantly, wholly, and joyfully obey him. And then God comes in like a flood with supernatural grace and blesses the seeds that we plant in obedience. So let's just stand up, we're just going to pray. Today is the day we stop procrastinating. Today is the day we take some action steps in faith to instantly, wholly, and joyfully do whatever God's telling us to do. And like I said, it could be applying for jobs. Could be finally, I remember the time Michael said, Sherry, you got to let that Jeep go. I fixed it more times. He just lovingly is basically saying, you're not using wisdom in your life. Let it go. God's going to get you another vehicle. Okay. There are just things that we love, right? And God's like, hey, I need you to let go of that so I can give you something else. God is faithful. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. God calls us to do hard things. Join rough teams. Lead people like Moses with grumbling, complaining people that backstab you and like talk about you. And you're going to still fall in love with them and be obedient and lead them. And God is going to bless you. Praise God for your grace, Lord God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just, ever just open up your hands just as a sign of surrender. You can reach sky high. You can just put them in front of you, whatever, wherever you're at. You can pocket them. It's fine. Lord God, we just open up our whole hearts to you, our whole lives to you, all of our time to you. We surrender. If anyone's here that just has not fully surrendered their life to Jesus, maybe you said a prayer a long time ago, but you just haven't been all in. Maybe you've never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's in you the moment you gave your life to Jesus, but you're like, I just haven't let him in every area of my life. I want all of them I can get. Today's that day. Today's that day. So if that's you, if grow group leaders and altar ministry can come forward, ministry directors, if you'd like to pray with someone to give your life to Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or just receive prayer for healing in your life, there are people here. Lord God, we just repent, Lord God, for areas that we have procrastinated, areas that we have pushed off. And Lord God, we are jumping to do your will. We are jumping to do your will. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you can just repeat after me. Jesus, I give my life to you. I'm all yours. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. You rose again. You're alive. And I surrender my life to you. Use me. If you're like, Holy Spirit, you know, there are just areas of my life I haven't fully surrendered. Just say this, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me up. I'm yours. You have an all-access pass to my life. If there's someone that is just scratching at your heart that you know your relationship's not right, maybe you're right, but the relationship's not right, God's saying, let's get over our self-righteousness and make things right. Repent, change your ways, make things right. Lord, we love you so much. We surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Have a wonderful rest of the afternoon, evening. Get people's numbers. Have dinner. Have lunch. Be church family. We love you.